Today we're going to be talking about bias that results from using discordant measures, and I'll get into what that is. We have no disclosures. And this particular project uses data from the Latino Health Project, which of course employed a number of investigators and staff to whom we are grateful, and a number of community partners, most of which were used to recruit subjects. And they were also very helpful, and it was funded by the CDC. So the objectives of the Latino Health Project were to examine social and cultural factors influencing sexual behavior, contraceptive use, condom use, that kind of thing. However, we're not talking about those things today. Today we're talking about some methods points that arose out of the research we've done with this. The first is to determine whether question framing affects participant responses. And so by question framing, I mean when you're talking about sexual health data, you have to rely on self-report. That's all you can do. And if you say, what's your risk of getting HIV from having sex? That's a non-specific question, and the person in their head is just kind of going, okay, what's my risk? On the other hand, you could ask a partner-specific question where you say, what's your risk of getting HIV from having sex with Tom or with Nancy or with whomever? And it kind of makes sense that people's responses might change depending on how you frame the question. And the second purpose today is to determine the magnitude of effect measure bias if you use discordant questions, and I'll define that in a minute. So the participants, this is not Latino Health Project, this is participants in our analysis today, 481 young men and women currently sexually active and in a relationship, and they self-identified as Latino and were not HIV positive. About equal distribution for genders, mostly immigrants, about two-thirds, only about 60% currently working, very poor. It's 18 to 25-year-olds again, so only about half were married or living with their partners. 58% completed at least high school, and 15% had more than one partner in the last 3 months. Again, only about half of them that were married or living with their partner, so that's not really that surprising. The methods for Latino Health Project, we did in-person interviews in either Spanish or English. And the interview included 17 pairs of repeated questions. The first section of the interview included these 17 questions that were on perceived vulnerability, motivation to avoid pregnancy and STIs, self-efficacy for using birth control, using condoms, and intentions around using birth control and using condoms. And so at the beginning of the interview, these questions were asked using a non-specific or general wording. So what's your risk of getting HIV from having sex? Then later on in the interview, participants were asked for the name of their current partner or a pseudonym for their current partner. And the questions were repeated, those 17 questions, but in a partner-specific manner. So what's your risk of getting HIV from having sex with Tanya? So we already know from other studies by Jonathan Ellen and others that framing affects perceived vulnerability responses. And that makes sense, as I've already said. We don't know whether the same is true in a Latino population, so we were looking for that. We also don't know if that is true for the other domains, the self-efficacy, the motivation, and the intentions. It kind of makes sense that your responses would change depending on question framing, but nobody has looked at that. And then our second objective was to determine the magnitude of effect measure bias if you use discordant questions. So what I mean there is if your outcome, say, is effective birth control use with your main partner, then it makes sense that if you're trying to see if self-efficacy is a predictor, that your self-efficacy question would also be framed in a partner-specific manner, and those would be concordant. But we wanted to know what happens if your outcome is partner-specific, but your predictor is non-specific, or vice versa. If your outcome is non-specific, but your predictor is partner-specific, that would be a discordant type of question. So the first objective, again, was to look at within-person agreement with the two types, the non-specific and the partner-specific questions. And so you can see on this slide, this question had of the 17 pairs had the most agreement. How confident are you that you could discuss using condoms with your partner? Or the partner-specific version was, how confident are you that you could discuss using condoms with Tom, Nancy, whoever? And they had a 5-point Likert going from not at all confident up to extremely confident. So these, in the columns, you have the participant responses to the partner-specific version of the question, and in the rows, you have the participant responses to the non-specific version of the question. And so here now I've colored, so the blue diagonal represents participants who did not change their response. So they answered not at all confident to both, all the way down to extremely confident for both versions of the question. And then the people in green changed by 1 point on the Likert scale, in yellow changed by 2, in red changed by 3, and then the people out in the extremes in magenta there changed all the way from not at all confident to extremely confident or vice versa, depending on the wording of the question. This is another example. This particular question had the worst within-person agreement. If you do not use a condom, how likely is it that you could get a sexually transmitted disease other than HIV from having sex or from having sex with so-and-so? And as you can see here, looking at the blue diagonal, again, there really are many fewer people who kept the same response and a lot more people out here who totally changed. I'm assuming that person knew that their current partner had a disease because extremely likely. But down here, you know, again, they're confident that their current partner is not diseased, but they don't know if they're just having sex with somebody else. So to summarize our within-person agreement results, so again, we had the 17 pairs of questions, and the range of within-person agreement ranged from 25% up to 78%. The median within-person agreement was 62% with an interquartile range of 56 to 70. There were two questions that had below 50% agreement, and those were the perceived vulnerabilities to STIs and HIV. The highest agreement were both for discussing things with your partner, discussing condoms, discussing birth control, but only 62% had perfect agreement for self-efficacy and persuading the partner to use condoms. In general, agreement was higher for birth control type questions than for STI and condom type questions, but only 50% agreement, which was the third lowest, agreement for the self-efficacy question about being able to stop sex if you knew you weren't using birth control. So conclusions from this objective, as has been shown in other populations, Latino men and women did alter their responses on perceived vulnerability questions when the question framing changed. And we are the first to show that question responses also change in the other three domains. So the second objective, which was to look for, does it matter? If you used a discordant predictor, will your effect measure estimate change? So for this one, we used perceived vulnerability, motivation, and self-efficacy to predict intentions. Okay, and then intentions, we dichotomized it as very true, like I really intend to do that versus the other four categories combined. And then we calculated risk ratios via binomial regression. And then obviously we used condom questions to predict the condom intentions and birth control questions to predict the birth control intentions. So here's a sample of results. So this is your outcome. You're trying to persuade your partner to use condoms every time you have sex in the next 3 months. And you can either have partner-specific wording for that or non-specific wording. And then this is our predictor. How important is it to you right now? So this is a motivation question, to do something to keep from getting HIV when you have sex or when you have sex with so-and-so. So when you have a partner-specific outcome, the concordant risk ratio is from the partner-specific predictor and the discordant risk ratio is from the non-specific predictor. When you have a non-specific outcome, the concordant risk ratio is using the non-specific predictor. The discordant risk ratio uses the partner-specific risk ratio. Everyone with me on that so far? That's a little bit hard to wrap your head around. So we used extremely as our referent category. And then just looking at the partner-specific outcomes, you can see that sometimes using the other kind of question, I mean, we got up to a 20% change in risk ratio here. And over here, again, you know, had some pretty big changes in the risk ratio. So that suggests that question wording is important and you can't just willy-nilly, you know, ask questions. You need to think about your question framing, and I'm sure everybody would. But sometimes it's been shown in some research that, you know, if you have a scale that's measuring motivation or something and it's a validated scale and other people have used it, then you want to use it as it is without changing it. But if it's worded the wrong way, then you might introduce other bias. So you might be better off changing the scale. So to summarize our results, the contraception results, we had two outcomes, two intentions questions, and four predictors. So there were 16 pairs of models, and the range in percent change of risk ratio ranged from -19% up to 32%. About two-thirds of them were negative, meaning the discordant risk ratio was closer to the null than the concordant one, but there wasn't any pattern to that, to which ones were negative and which ones were not. The median absolute change in risk ratio was 3.5% with a range of 1 to 6. For the condom questions, where there were 48 pairs of models, the range was from -25% up to 21%. About half were negative, again with no discernible pattern, and the median absolute change was 5% with a range of 2 to 12. So summary for this objective, there was a slightly lower absolute change in risk ratio with the contraception questions versus the condom questions, which kind of intuitively makes sense. If you're going to get pregnant, you're going to get pregnant, and if you don't want to, you don't want to, but your risk of HIV from somebody would change depending on who the person was. So that makes a little bit of sense. But the range of risk ratio change for contraception was wider, and there weren't any patterns. We can't say that, you know, motivation questions had larger changes in risk ratio or anything like that. There just really didn't seem to be any patterns. So our conclusions are that young Latinos living in rural Oregon, similar to other populations, they do change their answers for perceived vulnerability questions. So we have confirmed that in our population. They also change their answers for questions on motivation and intentions and self-efficacy. And it does matter. If you use a partner-specific question to predict a non-specific outcome or vice versa, you get a change in your risk ratio. And we're conceptualizing that as bias secondary to misclassification of the exposure. And the absolute change, the median absolute changes were 3.5% for contraception and 5% for condoms. But we think that those are enough of a change to matter because your effect sizes in this area of research are often small. You know, self-efficacy does predict condom use, but only usually with a risk ratio or odds ratio of around 0.8, 0.9. So if you have a 5% change, you're going from 0.9 to 0.94, 0.95. That could change the conclusions of your study. Whereas if your odds ratio is down at 0.1 and you have a really strong predictor and you change by 5%, you're still going to conclude that it's a strong predictor. We do have some limitations to this study. First is that the questions were not asked in a random order. We asked all of the non-specific questions first and then all of the partner-specific questions. And that was because this study was not designed to address this methods point. And so when we designed the interview, you know, we decided we would do all of the non-specific questions first and then switch over to all the partner-specific questions just to kind of keep the participant understanding what we were asking about. So lingering questions then generated by our research is, you know, we were the first to show that within-person agreement varies for motivation, self-efficacy, and intentions domains, but we showed it in an all-Latino population. So, you know, we need to look at that in other populations. I think it probably the same applies, but we don't know. And then, again, the risk ratio results that we found using discordant questions, all Latino population, it might not hold up in others, but it might. So, thank you very much.
Great. And our final presentation will be, Dr. Kevin Horton. Dr. Horton is Chief of Surveillance and Registries Branch at the Division of Health Studies at Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry in Atlanta, Georgia. He holds a bachelor's from Emory University and a master's of science in public health from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in New Orleans, and a doctorate in public health from University of Georgia's College of Public Health in Athens, Georgia. Prior to coming to ATDSDR, Dr. Horton was epidemiologist with Ohio Department of Health in Columbus, Ohio, working in both chronic and infectious disease investigations. Dr. Horton.